Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. We have a special treat for you this morning as we come to this Bible class because we're going to have a guest teacher. Normally in this Radio Bible School, we are studying the Bible with the help of E.A. Elam and the Sunday School lessons that he wrote for the Sundays of 1922. But because there was a question raised in this lesson, I'm going to invite another teacher into the classroom today. His name is Robert R. Taylor, Jr., and he's going to come to us by way of me reading from a book that he wrote several years ago called Christ in the Home. Now, I'm going to read from this because Elam, in talking about this, was talking about how Christ was in the home. It says that, in referring to this lesson, how that Jesus quietly entered Capernaum, for it was noised or reported or rumored that he was in the house. And the marginal reading says, he was at home. Now, Jesus had no home of his own, but in Capernaum, the house occupied by some friend, probably Peter. As at Bethany, his home was with Lazarus and his sisters. And then Elam asked this question, how can we now have Jesus in our homes? And then he says with an exclamation, what a blessing to have him make his home with us. If our hearts are clean and pure, Christ will delight to dwell in them. And so we're going to talk about Christ in the home from Robert Taylor's book in our next reading. So before we do that, I want to make sure and remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our services. Now let me turn to the reading today from this beautiful little book that Robert Taylor wrote. Let me see if I can find the year. The year in which he wrote this book is 1973. And he actually inscribed this book to me. It says, to Bill and Lori, best wishes in the establishment of your home and the building of your marriage. God bless a fine couple. Signed, Robert R. Taylor, Jr. Well, I treasure this little book with that inscription. On page 14, in the first chapter of this book, Robert Taylor begins, our homes truly need to be saved. They need to be happy. They deserve to be productive of goodness and the powerful protectors of manly virtue and womanly purity. They need to be schools where the pliable minds and tender hearts of impressionable youth can be trained for the good life here and that home of immortal souls in the hereafter, enshrining the abiding presence of Jesus Christ in the heart of each family member is the only way that our homes can be what Jehovah intended them to be. Jesus can restore the home to its first foundations which were laid in Eden's bliss. Let us catch some beautiful glimpses of Jesus as the divine guest in a few first century homes. And then we have an account of a visit to the home of Simon Peter and Andrew. Jesus was engaged in his Galilean ministry following a busy and eventful day in a synagogue at Capernaum. The Master visited the humble home of Simon Peter and Andrew. Mark briefly describes this interesting visit. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. And anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left, and she ministered unto them. Mark 1:29-31. We shall talk about this visit later. There's another visit, a visit in Jairus' home. Somewhat later, the evangelist Mark pictures the coming of deeply distressed Jairus to Jesus with a fervent request couched in the words of moving gravity. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Mark 5:22-24. The compassionate ear of the great physician was always open to such a call. With steady steps the Son of God traveled with the concerned father. Mark 5:25-34 relates the story of the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment and received an instant cure from her serious blood disease. This must have delayed somewhat the arrival of Jesus to the home of Jairus, and every minute counted as far as Jairus was concerned. But if there is any disapproval of Jesus' actions on the part of the troubled Jairus, Scripture does not reveal it. This should impress us that Jesus knows best, and we should allow him to be master in every sense of the term. It is never the prerogative of the servant or the seeker to dictate the actions of the master. That amounts to fallibly seeking to direct the course of affairs for the sovereign of the universe. Shortly before Jesus' arrival at Jairus' home, a delegation brings the sad message that the seriously ill child has now died. Their words are, Thy daughter is dead. Why trouble thou the master any further? Mark 5:35. The compassionate healer has had precious words of comfort for this distraught father. Mark describes the dispatch with which Jesus offered a treasured assurance. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. Mark 5:36. The master is not detoured in the least. The direction of travel is still toward the home of Jairus. Moments before, it had been the home of sickness. Now it becomes the chamber of death. Before, the services of the great physician were needed. Now the task demands the presence of the resurrection and the life. The Lord is met at the house by the weeping and wailing throng of mourners. Quickly he informs them that the damsel is not permanently dead, but temporarily asleep. The scorn of unbelieving laughter filled the air and must have pained deeply the great heart of him who was about ready to perform one of his greatest miracles. How inexcusable was their infidelity, for nearby Nain had witnessed a similar miracle shortly before, and it is highly unlikely that this miracle had escaped their attention. All persons are now put forth except the bereft parents and the inner three, Peter, James, and John. Jesus and these people enter the room where the King of Terrors had invaded but moments before. The merciful Master tenderly takes the lifeless hand into that of his own, and his lips give utterance to that authoritative expression, Talitha Kumai, which being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise, Mark 5:41. The child's departed spirit re-enters the little tabernacle of clay, stilled moments before by death's chilling hand. Life is her precious possession again. Death could not hold captive the child that the author of life willed to live again. Another home that Jesus had was in Bethany. The beloved physician Luke records Jesus accepting an invitation to visit the lovely and hospitable home of Mary and Martha. Perhaps no home in the first century Palestine, other than his own with Joseph and Mary while growing up, ever afforded Jesus a more wonderful welcome, or more permanent type of hospitality. than did this one in the quiet setting of Bethany. Luke records this interesting account. Now it came to pass, as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about by much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Luke 10:38-42. I have seen the rather large outdoor plaque in Bethany inscribed with the words from Luke 10:42. This is a lovely picture of what a visit from the divine guest meant. Martha and her domestic-centered world is taught a needed lesson. Mary learns that her decision was the wiser of the two, and that eternal dividends would accrue therefrom. Jesus would forcefully fix the attention of all to the wisdom of Mary's decision. And this Jesus entered into the home of Zacchaeus. Near the end of the Savior's ministry, he is passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. Zacchaeus, chief of the publicans, but short in stature, determines to obtain a glimpse of the famed Galilean prophet. Nature may have bypassed him in supplying average height, but it had not left him lacking in practical planning. He determines to turn his liability into an asset. Running well ahead of the great throngs traveling with the Lord, he finds himself in a position in a sycamore tree. Jesus was to pass that way, and a bird's eye view of the Lord would amply repays Zacchaeus' efforts. Luke says, And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Luke 19:5. The Bible says that he made haste and come down and received him joyfully. Luke 19:6. Jesus was eager to bless his host, and Zacchaeus was eager to know the Lord more fully. But as is frequently the case, the performance of a good work provides fuel to generate the tongues of murmurers and increase the carping of hostile critics. He has gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Luke 19:7. It is doubtful if these critics would have lifted a little finger to alleviate the spiritual bankruptcy of the many of Zacchaeuses of that day. As a rule, the publicans were a hated lot, guilty of treason and taxing traitors were the common designations by which they were known among the Jews of that era. In the second place, it is doubtful that these critics would have extended a warm welcome and royal reception to the itinerant teacher from Nazareth had they been in the place of Zacchaeus. Carping critics usually are quite inefficient in any service save wrecking what talented builders have erected. A heart of selfishness, a scorned disposition, a quick tongue, and a regular refusal to do the good works are the guaranteed prerequisites for success in destructive criticism. The cutting snipes of the supercharged critics did not keep Jesus from going home with Zacchaeus, nor did they bar the chief publican from extending God's Son the warmest welcome at his personal command. Deep admiration is raised in our hearts as we look at Jesus and Zacchaeus. Nothing but utter abhorrence describes the attitude we feel for the fault finders. That's as far as we're going to get in our reading today. But in the next class, I plan to continue this reading from Robert Taylor's book, Christ in the Home. And then following that, we'll return to Elam's Notes. So you be listening for that school bell, and make sure you're ready for class.